Thank you for taking the time to listen to this CD. You may hear some things that challenge your thinking, challenge your understanding of the Scripture, but also encourage you and edify you. In Acts chapter 17, the Scripture speaks of the noble Bereans who received the Word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures to see if those things were so. My prayer today is that your nobleness and hunger for God will be stimulated through this Free Food for the Soul CD. Now, let's have some free food for the soul. Jesus said, and he was using this in the context of John the Baptist, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me." Amen. Blessed is he that is not offended in me. And I want to read an additional scripture, if you go to the next slide, from the book of Romans, I believe it is, which says, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness." Why? "Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, but whosoever believeth not on him shall not be ashamed." And you can put the next slide on, just leave it there. He said that offense is going to come. Have you ever had people get offended with you just because you're a Christian? Maybe they come to you and say, "Look at you, you holier than thou. Don't preach to me." Use whatever. I've had it happen. I had people get offended with me just because I'm a child of the Lord. I actually had a boss tell me that one time. A boss and a union guy. "We're in trouble with the manager and the union guy. You're in trouble." So I was in trouble with the manager and the union guy. And the union guy got mad at me. Because in 1980, now we're in 90-something now. In 1983, I got a job with General Electric. They sent me to 6 weeks of training. The last 2 hours of the training, at the end of the 6 weeks, they said, "Well, we're all through with our session. We have nothing to do for the next 2 hours, but somebody brought a pornographic video, and if nobody objects, we'll watch it." I object. Now, I don't even remember this. Dozen years later, the union guy comes up to me and starts doing one of these numbers. I know you don't have this happen at your job, Tayo. You know, don't come pushing your religion in my face. And I'm like, "What in the world are you talking about?" He said, he remembered that, and he was the one that had the tape. He was very offended with me all those years before. So I was in trouble with him. I was in trouble with the boss. But as far as us, and I said this before, but how we react to offense is going to come. It's going to happen. But how we react to that shows our maturity level in Jesus Christ, or how far that we've grown. Now, go ahead and go to the next slide, if you would. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 7, he said, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe be to the man by whom offenses come." I looked at that, and I thought that it was talking about me offending my brother. Actually, I thought about for quite a few years that, you know, I can't offend my brother, but that's not what it's talking about. If you go to the next slide, bring it out in the Amplified Version, it talks about, "Woe unto the world for such temptations to sin and influences to do wrong. It is necessary that those temptations shall come. So you find the King James uses the word offense here. And to tempt a child of God is an offense in that sense. But that's not really what it's talking about. It's talking about woe unto the people by whom temptation to do wrong, temptation to go against the word of God, so on and so forth, are. And temptation to sin, and as I said, influences to do wrong, are offense to the child of God, because it will cause, if you remember the definition that we used a couple of weeks ago, part of the definition of offense is to stumble. So sin and temptation can cause a child of God to stumble. Correct? Amen. Everybody's got difficulties. Everybody's got temptations. And I've said this many times. What's a temptation for you may not be a temptation for me. And what's a temptation for me may have nothing to do with your issues in life. So if you could go to the next slide. I laid all this stuff out. This is not canned or anything. Jesus said, if you're offended, and he's not using the word offended here, but you can be angry. Because sometimes you get offended and you get mad. Or am I the only one that ever got upset when I got offended? Now, if you tell me you've never been offended in life, then I honestly don't think that you're telling the truth. Because each and every one of us at various times in life will get offended. Amen? But you can get angry, and somebody said, well, I got offended and I get angry. Well, you can get angry, you just got to get over it. He also said, don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Deal with your offense right then and there. Don't mind me again because my back is bothering me still. Take off my shoes. We're on holy ground. The presence of the Lord is here. What do you do if somebody won't forgive you? All you can do is forgive them, ask them for forgiveness, and move on in life. You cannot change somebody being offended with you. And I go back for many years to a situation that I went through, there's things going to come at you in the Christian life that are going to try your faith. And offense is one of those things that's going to try your faith, whether you realize it or not. It's going to try your faith. But he also went on to say, don't give place to who? You can be angry. Don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. But don't give place to who? Don't give place to the devil. Why did Jesus say that? Because the devil works through offense. He will try to get you offended. He will try. He knows the buttons to push. Amen. Have you ever talking about living for God? Have you ever come to the place where you say, I can't do this anymore? Be honest. And if you've ever come to that place, there's always that little voice in the background that says, no, you can't. You might as well just give up. Right? Sure. I think we've all had that. But you don't give him his place. Don't hold on to those feelings. And I've talked a lot about my family history, and my family history, unfortunately, my family held on to feelings. I told you the story of how my mother died and my father got a letter from his brother that he hadn't seen in 50 years and refused to forgive him. I watched him and my aunt take it, his sister, take it, roll it up, throw it away. And I never met my uncle because of somebody gave place to something way back before I was born, because I wasn't even 50 yet when that happened. No, I wasn't 50 yet, because that was in like 2001 that my mother passed away. So don't give place to the devil. And we talked a few Sundays ago about strongholds and arguments. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare, we'll look into that a little bit more later, are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. How does a stronghold get started? A stronghold gets started because of an argument. Where does the argument come from? It can come from several different places. It can come from yourself, your understanding. It can come from the work of the enemy, the devil. It can come from others. I'm not saying that I got a total understanding how these arguments form in our mind, but I do know one thing, is that if you give place to the devil, a stronghold is going to form. Do you see that? Stronghold forms. So you got to deal with it. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. Work it out with God or whoever, if you can work it out with. Sometimes things can't be worked out, unfortunately, and usually it's because of the flesh. Go ahead and to the next slide, if you'd be so kind, Brother Joshua. Think about Job, and here's an example of Job. Everybody know the story of Job. You know, he was a servant of the Lord. He did everything right. The devil came at him, took his family, took his living. He's sitting in a bowl of in sackcloth and ashes with a broken piece of pottery scraping boils off his flesh. And he talked to God. I don't know if we're at that place or before, but he talked to God, and the scripture says that in all this thing, Job sinned not, nor did he charge the Lord foolishly. Job got angry with God at certain points, yet we can't find that he was to proclaim to sin. And condemnation can come that way too, because you go through things in life. And anybody ever get upset with God? Sure. Why did this person die? Why didn't this situation turn out like it did? You fill in the blanks. A number of different things that you can do. We can all even get offended with the Lord. Go to the next slide, please. We are called, though, to be like Christ. Behold, what manner of love, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called, what? The sons of God, daughters of God. Wherefore, the world didn't know us, the world doesn't know us, because it doesn't know him. You know why people think we're so weird? Because they don't know Jesus. Let me tell you something. Jesus would be weird in this culture here, in this world. What do you mean, slap me and turn the other cheek? What do you mean, forgive them, for they know? They're crucifying me, killing me on a cross. What do you mean, forgive them? They don't know what they do. That's not our society, is it? Those are Christian values that bring that up. Amen. Go to the next slide. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. I just can't see this thing very well here. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be what? We shall be like him. Now, I remember there's been some comedy groups that have gone through various times in our life, and my wife and I have gone to some Christian comedy things, and there's this one guy that they talk about how they're going to sell you an ejecto coffin, guaranteed to throw you 50 feet in the air at the coming of the Lord, but the rest is up to you. He's going to grab one sinner in each hand, say, are you ready to repent now, or do I let go? Of course, that's just humor is all that is, because being like the Lord is not going to be a process that happens like that. Being like the Lord is a process that we go through, that we build ourselves up in. It's called spiritual growth. Amen. Have you ever looked at somebody and said, I wish they'd grow up? Come on. I wish they'd grow up. What's the matter with them? Well, really, it's the same thing with us. We grow up in stature to be like the Lord. Or actually, that's what's supposed to happen. Sometimes you might look at some folks and say, will you grow to be like Jesus? But always remember, when you do that, look at yourself. Amen? So easy to look at somebody else and to see their faults, right? What did Jesus say? He said, take the beam out of your own eye. Before you worry about your brother, take the beam out. Consider yourself. Acknowledge you're not perfect either. Amen? Just for example, you say, well, the pastor needs to be perfect. And, well, I need to grow into perfection, sure. But has the Lord cut you some slack? Sure he has. Amen. So remember that. The Bible says the judgment that you mete out, the same judgment is going to be given to you. So before you're harsh on somebody, remember what the Lord has done for you. Praise the Lord. We know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Doesn't yet appear what we were going to be. It doesn't appear right now. Some of us, and I've used this example in spiritual growth, and I've talked to different folks, and they're not happy with their progress. And I ask them, I say, are you different than what you were last year? If you're different, you're headed the right direction. You know what grows fast? What's the fastest growing plant in the garden, in the lawn out there besides grass? Anybody? Weeds. Right? Now, we're not a gardening culture. But when we had a garden, I took the garden out of my house because I thought the squirrels were getting it, but it turns out that we were feeding like 5 families of rabbits, so I couldn't. When I figured that out, and I said, well, I'm sorry, rabbits. You're just going to have grass there because I'm not feeding a whole family of rabbits. But when I would weed that garden, it seemed like 3 days later, man, there's weeds again. What takes a long time to grow? An oak tree. Oak is powerful. Weeds are just there, man. They make you sneeze. They're not. Now, dandelion's good for something, but most of the weeds are not really good for a whole lot of things. But that oak tree, boy, you can make, this is oak plywood, but this is oak there. You can make some good stuff out of that oak. That oak tree takes a long time to grow. So the next time you look at yourself and you're frustrated with yourself, just ask the Lord if he's growing an oak tree. Amen? You got to make progress, but don't beat yourself up too bad if you're not making the progress that you want to make. I feel like that sometimes, and I'm growing every year. I'm different. And look at yourself if you lived for God long enough. Look at yourself 10 years ago. Could you picture yourself like you are today? Amen. Doesn't yet appear what we shall be. Brother Rick, when you were 16 years old, running the party route, can you picture yourself like you are today? Yeah. Before I came to the Lord, could I picture myself 30 years from now doing what I'm doing? No. Even after I got in church, I knew the Lord called me to minister and to pastor, but to be able to live like I live, I didn't think it was possible. Does not yet appear, but we know that he'll change us. Amen? He'll change us. Go to the next slide. And being like Christ is a process, as I said. It's a long process. It doesn't happen overnight. But your ability to deal with offense shows about where you are in the process. Because whether we like it or not, what we should be able to do as children of God is that if we are offended, we should love each other. Put it off. Amen? It's good. It's good to do that. The best you can, at least. Not always possible, but the best you can. Go ahead, the next slide. Offenses can be a biblical trying. And I'll use the Amplified here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. You should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and do what? Suffer temptations. And of course, in the King James earlier, we read how offenses were also temptations. So your offenses itself can be a trial for you. And the Lord says, okay, let me see how you're going to react with this. Amen. For those of us that have children, when the kids were small, you want them to react good, right? You want them to learn how to deal with people in society. And that's really not much different with God. The Lord doesn't want us to be little children. He says that in places. Grow. Desire the sincere meat of the word that you might grow. Amen. So these offenses that we see, these trials that we see, or they can be from the Lord. Go to the next slide, the seventh verse. And the cares of this world. Now I want you to think about this. The cares of this world, Mark chapter 4:19, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Go to the next slide again. Okay, we'll put it all together here in a minute. I must have misplaced some slides here. Here's from the Amplified. So that the genuineness of your faith may be tested. Your faith is infinitely more precious than gold. We look at gold. 13, I guess it dropped now. I guess they said gold was going to be at, what, $3,000 an ounce. It's $1,360 when I looked at it yesterday. So it's not going as high as I thought. But whatever the case is, I would like a pound of gold right now. Amen. 16 times 1360. What's that, Brother Ty? Are you good at math? 48,000 dollars. $48,000. Or is it 480,000? Whatever. 480, yeah. So, but the Bible says our faith is worth much more than gold. Now, I know gold in the Bible days wasn't 1,300 an ounce, but it was still very valuable. But your faith is precious. Treat your faith as precious. Treat the growth of your faith as precious. Amen? Praise the Lord. This proving of your faith is intended to redound to your praise, or to be for your praise and your glory and your honor when Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You went through some things, Sister Daisel, and I get to see what you're doing. She's a good girl, boy. She's taking notes. What do your notes say? Let's see. She's writing a note to her boyfriend in the Philippines. No, it says if we're offended, she's taking notes. She's a good girl. But one of the Lord's going to come to you one day. Man, I'm so glad. I'm so proud of you. Right? You don't mind me picking on you, do you? That's all right. But for your honor, for your praise, your glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. But in order to get to that place, you know what you got to do? You got to hang in there. When times are tough, there's a book out there that says, tough times don't last, but tough people do. Well, How about tough people that hang on to the Lord? You got to have a certain amount of toughness in you to hang on to God. Because the devil will take everything that you don't think of, throw it at you, and try to mess up your faith. Isn't that what happened to Joseph? His brothers tried to kill him. He stood up for the Lord and said, I'm not going to commit adultery with this woman, and got thrown in jail. God gave him a dream, an interpretation. Gave it to the baker. The baker forgot about him. You know, that'd be pretty frustrating. But the Lord let him go through those things to build up his, build him up. You say, why did God let, I don't know everything that God does. I got to admit. I don't got God figured out. You can know how God works. You may not understand everything he does. But you can, the Bible says that the children of Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. You can know the ways of God. You may not understand why he does it. Right? Why did he use water for baptism? Why did he use speaking in tongues? You can kind of understand that one. Why does he do this? Why does he? May not understand everything. We can explain that that's the way he does. We may not understand why he does everything. Although as you get older, you get a little more insight. I can answer a whole lot of more questions now than I could 20 years ago. So can you. Look at yourself a year ago. Can you answer more questions about God than you could answer today? Sure. So it's a growing process. And go to the next slide, please. The parable of the sower. You say, what does this have to do with offense? I'll show you in a little bit. Give attention to this. And we're reading from the Amplified, Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 9. What I want you to do is look for yourself in this parable. Behold, a sower went out to sow. Fourth verse. And he was sowing, as he was sowing, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came along and ate it up. So look for yourself and be honest now. Be honest. If there's one person you can be honest with, it's yourself, right? Some people are not even honest with themselves. So I want you to be honest with yourself. And the Bible tells us that. It talks about Brother Ty, a guy that looks in the mirror, says, man, ain't that one handsome dude or one ugly dude, and walks away and forgets what he looks like. Be honest with yourself. What's that fifth verse say? Other seed of the same kind fell on the ground full of rocks, where it had not much soil, and at once it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And when the sun came up, it scorched it, and because it had no root, or it had not taken root, or just took a little bit of root, it withered away. Next slide. Other seed of the same kind fell among thorns. Thistles grew, pressed together, utterly choked and suffocated it, yielded no grain. Next slide. And other seed of the same kind fell into good, well-adapted, notice what it says here, well-adapted soil, and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding up 30 times as much and 60 times as much, even 100 times as much as it had been sown. Next slide. And he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear, and let him consider, and let him comprehend. So we're going to go on to the next one, but did you see yourself in here at all? Anywhere in there? You see yourself in there at all? Hopefully you're one of those four grounds. And he said to them, do you not, and part of dealing with offense is understanding what we're like, right? Understanding what we're like. Understanding what pushes your buttons. Know your limitations. I'd be dumb. My son wanted me to go skydiving with him. And I'd be ignorant if I went with him because my knee is in such bad shape. Did you see that a couple of months ago they had a basketball player jump real high, came down, and his bone came through the skin by the knee? Anybody see that picture? That was a sports-related injury, but they said that's typical of skydiving injuries. So I got a bad knee. I have limitations, so I can't go skydiving. So know your limitations. Know that, understand yourself a little bit. That way, when things happen, you understand why you're acting the way you're acting. Right? It's a lot of forces that come together in our life and shape us and make us act like we are. And sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. You got to deal with the ones that are not good and change them. So try to understand yourself. Try to give God some room to help you. Amen? Amen. The sower sows the word. Next slide. The ones along the path are those that have the word sown in their heart, but when they hear, Satan comes at once by force and takes away, notice what he says there, and by force takes away the message which was sown into them. That's the one on the wayside. One by the wayside. The devil comes, steals the... How many people have we seen? God does for this. God does something for them. And some tragedy, some problem, some difficulty immediately happens to them. And Satan takes the word. Well, if God was really real, this wouldn't have happened. Some of you survived that. Amen? Some of you survived that. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. The next slide. And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those when they hear the word, once receive it, they accept it, they welcome it with joy. But you know what happens to them? They don't have depth. Go to the next verse. They have no real root in themselves, and they endure for a little while. And then when trouble or persecution, when trouble or they get offended on account of the word, didn't Jesus say, he said, I'm a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. I'll tell you what, the Lord intentionally lets some things come in our life that offend us. Amen. It's just the way it is. Sometimes he even uses a preacher. Think about it. Jesus didn't go to John the Baptist. He sent one of the apostles. Go tell him this. Isn't that what the preacher is supposed to do? Hear the voice from the mouth of the Lord. And, you know, the scripture talks about in Ezekiel chapter 3, Son of man, they made thee a watchman of the house of Israel. If the righteous man sins, go to him and tell him what I said. Well, I found out that sometimes you tell folks that, they get offended. So what that also means is sometimes God will use the preacher to offend you. Do you get the process there? That's why some folks hate preachers. I was discussing with somebody earlier about some stuff on the internet, and I've looked into a lot of that. And behind that, generally you look and you begin to read. You begin to read a despising of the ministry. For whatever reason. Some guys, you know, I told somebody the other day, you set yourself up for this one, brother. Sometimes we set ourselves up, sometimes we don't. And by the way, if I set myself up, can't somebody cut me some slack? Think about it. That's where that Christian love comes in. I love you, brother. Appreciate you. Hallelujah. They immediately are offended. They become displeased. They become indignant. They become resentful. And they stumble and fall away. Go ahead. And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word, then the cares of this and the anxieties of this world. Anybody have anxieties? I got some anxieties in life. You got anxieties in life. Anxiety can destroy you. if you got thorns, thistles. You know, hey, I got to deal with that thing. My wife has to help me sometimes. You know, the Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. Isn't that crazy? What do you mean, don't worry about tomorrow? That's dumb. I got to plan ahead. Yet Jesus said, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I'm going to add everything to you. I'm going to take care of you. You do what's right. Do your job. Give your boss the full extent of what he hired you for. Or give yourself, work your business. Do the right thing. Seek first, not second, not third, not fourth, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things. I hope you are enjoying today's message from God's Word from Free Food for the Soul. Free Food for the Soul is a ministry of the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. We are located at 51 Center Avenue in Secaucus, New Jersey, one block from Town Hall. Our phone number is 201-832-1955. Our website is www.njupc.org. Now, let's get back to the remainder of today's message from Free Food for the Soul. Shall be added unto you. It's hard sometimes because you get anxious. You're like, it don't look too good this week, Lord. It don't look too good today. Everything is, you got anxieties. Well, we all got anxieties. Some deal with it better than others. My wife will tell you sometimes I get a little anxious. But help me to grow. Pray for your pastor. Amen. The distractions of the age. My Lord, isn't that one true? How many distractions you got in this age? Oh, man. You know, it's time for church, but they got this movie on I've been wanting to see for a long time. Or there's a fair, or I'm going out to eat, or distraction. Name it. Plenty of them. The distractions of the age. Pleasure and delight. Oh man, our world is full of that, huh? Until you find out it's all fake. False glamour, deceitfulness of riches, cravings and passionate desires, the lust of other things is what the King James said. Creep in, choke, and suffocate the word, and do you see anything in here? Do you see anything? Is there anything in here that you could say, dear Lord, I'm like that? Come on. Be honest. Be honest. Next slide. Amp. I put a double amp on that. Wow. And those sown in the good ground, well-adapted soil. And you might say, well, Pastor, you know, I realize I'm thorny ground. What am I going to do about it? You can become good ground. Did you know that? You can become good ground. You don't have to stay like you are. That's the great thing with serving God. Don't have to stay like you are. You can be more than you are in God. Amen? Good ground. Hear the word. Receive it. Accept it. Welcome it. Bear fruit. Some 30, 60, 100 times. Next slide. Okay, so I said understand your ground. What kind of ground are you? Wayside? I've seen folks. God touches them. They'll come to the altar. They'll cry. I'm not talking about necessarily. I talk years, over years now. So it's been a long time, okay? So I've seen this stuff over the years. Don't nobody think I'm preaching at you. If you think I'm preaching at you, maybe there's a reason you think that. Amen? It seems like they'll come to the altar. They really get touched. It's like the word didn't stick. What happened? Wayside. Shallow ground, not much depth. Thorny ground, cares of this world. Good ground. Here's the thing. What is good ground? And I think I've used this illustration before, but my folks, after we lived in the Bronx, I lived up in Yorktown Heights for 4 years, maybe 5 years. And we would go hiking in the woods. Anybody like to go hiking in the woods when you're a kid? Of course, if you grew up around here, ain't no woods to hike in. But there were some woods up there. Didn't go hiking in the Bronx. You go in the woods in the Bronx, you'll probably get mugged. So we didn't hike in the Bronx. But up there we hiked, and I used to see stone walls all over the place. Then I found out that Yorktown Heights used to be farming only, a farming community. Well, they came in, and the ground was full of rocks. What did they do? They pulled the rocks out. And they made such good ground that they were able to grow crops. If you feel like you're thorny, if you feel like you're shallow, if you feel like you're shallow, you know what? Go to the store, get them to dump some good topsoil on you so you can grow something. Of course, the store is the house of the Lord. Ask God to help you to get some depth. You don't have to stay stony ground. You don't have to stay by the wayside. You don't have to stay thorny ground. Each and every one of us can be good ground. Amen? Remember we talked about condemnation and conviction? Condemnation says you're stony ground, you're going to stay stony ground, ain't nothing going to happen, you're shallow, you're useless, you're nothing. You're not hearing that from me. Right? You're hearing you can dig the rocks out. You're hearing you can pull the weeds out. You're hearing you can do this and you can do that, but you got to do some things. The scripture says that if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh. So there's some involvement on our part. But the thing is, it can be done. Amen? Each one of us can be a powerful Christian as we want to be. No limit. You know what? There's one limitation on that. One limitation. You know what the limitation is? Me. Say, I knew it, Pastor. I can't grow in this church because you're my limitation. No. Take your finger and point at yourself and say, I'm my own limitation. Come on. How many of you had bad teachers in school and you could grow anyway? You could learn anyway. Sure you could. Next slide. What kind of ground are you? Wayside, offended by the word. Shallow, offended by others. Thorny, offended by Jesus. Oh, that one hurts. You want me to do what, Lord? But I got my cares. I got my riches. I've got my pleasure. You want me to what, Lord? It's too much to get offended in the Lord. I'm not the only one that offends. People get offended with Jesus. Remember that guy called the rich young ruler? It's like the Lord zeroed in, man. He said, I do this, I do that, I've been faithful, I do this. And the Lord knew the one thing that was going to get him. He says, okay, I want you to take everything you have, give it to the poor. And he's like, I'm sorry, that's too much for me. And he got offended in Jesus. It says he walked away sorrowful. You never find in the scripture record that the rich young ruler ever came back. Good ground. Willing to be. See, that's the definition. Good ground. Willing to be like Jesus. But Lord, I'm mad. Forgive them. But they slapped me, Lord. Turn the other cheek. That's hard for us, isn't it? I got flesh too. You'll see me sometime. Then I got to get a hold of myself. Next slide. Shallow, you can dig up the rocks. Thorny, you can pull out the weeds. good ground, you can keep your soil clean. Keep the junk out of your soil. When the little weeds, what does the Bible talk about? It says the root of bitterness. You know, I had some good ground in my garden because when I'm talking about getting a topsoil truck, that's what I did. I got a topsoil truck. My yard was terrible. And, man, that yard can grow grass now. Beautiful. But it's because I got some good dirt in there. But even with that good dirt, I used to do it myself, and then I found out I'm spending just as much money as calling somebody. So now I have lawn doctor come over. They were over the other day. They put some lime in. They put some fertilizer in. They put some weed killer in. And, man, I got no weeds back there, barely. Got a couple, but not too bad. Not too bad. Looks good. Happy. Finally happy the way my yard looks in that respect. But you got to take care of the good soil. You see what I'm saying? Take care of your walk with God. Take care of your spirit. Take care of your faith. Amen. Is this all right, or am I being mean today? It's all right? Okay. I hope I'm not being mean. Next slide. Use the weapons. We read the scripture a couple of weeks ago. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty to God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. And again, you want to get talking about caring for your spirit, okay? Get rid of the stronghold before it forms. Deal with the argument. Deal with the thing. Deal with it with scripture. Amen? You know, I used to have this argument with my boys. They were kind of straying from the Lord, and they have strayed, and we're believing God they'll come back. But I told my son, I said, why don't you look for, instead of looking for all the reasons why it's not true, why don't you look for all the reasons why it's true? And his struggle was believing in God, which doesn't make any sense to me. But whatever. He was looking simply for all the arguments that would say, why is it wrong to believe in God? I was like, why don't you look for all the arguments why it is right? Right? Does that make sense? Try it sometime. Makes a world of difference. Can anybody tell me what the six weapons of our warfare are? I've taught this here, so we should know what they are. Six weapons of our warfare. What are they? Everybody's going to get the first one. It's easy. What's the first one? Prayer. I told you it was easy. What's the next one? Fasting. What's the next one? Faith in God, faith in the Word. Go ahead, we'll use the cheat sheet. Your testimony. Last one, I love that one. Repentance. Let me look up a scripture. 2 Corinthians, I think it is, chapter 7, or it's first, one of the two. See, I do have a Bible here. I bet somebody was wondering, how come the pastor don't have his Bible? Because I take all my scriptures and I put them there. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the 10th verse, or the 9th verse. I got a feeling Paul offended some folks here. Now I rejoice. Hallelujah! Not that you were made sorry, but you sorrowed to repentance. He was happy. He said some things that made some people think. Usually when you do that, somebody will get upset with you too. And he was happy, not because they got sorry. He was happy that they were made sorry after a godly manner. There's a procedure here. You know, what do they call that? They call that when you have a standard set of operating, a SOP, a standard operating procedure. There's a standard operating procedure in the way God works in certain things. Look at this. That you might receive damage in us in nothing, the 10th verse. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. Verse 11, for the behold the selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, what clearing of yourselves, you feel clean, you feel righteous, what indignation, yea, what respect, and when it talks about fear, it's talking about respect in God here. What vehement desire. If you have a problem with desire, living for God, repent. After a godly manner. And he'll help you get really have. What's vehement desire? It means you really got desire. I've lost some desires over the last. Some of them are good. I just eat a lot more red meat. I don't have that much desire for that. But I remember when I really wanted to come home and have a steak. It was a lot cheaper back then, but. So he can give you vehement desire, zeal, which is just a really want to do it, revenge, you're mad at the devil. In all things, you've approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Hallelujah. Let's go back to the slides again. And I'll be done before too awful long. Next slide. So repentance is a weapon. But you know what you got to do to have repentance, Brother Rick? Brother Rick, what do you got to do to have repentance? Yeah, but what does that mean? You have to acknowledge. You got to acknowledge, you know. You can't repent, you know. Okay, Lord, let me use some example. I don't know. I've been running around with a wild woman, God, and I know your word says, you know, I shouldn't fornicate and commit adultery. You came to your senses, you acknowledge you're wrong, you repent. Choose that. Strongholds in your life, can you break them? Do you have hope that you can be different? Absolutely. Strongholds can be broken. I can be different. Right? If we don't believe God can change us, what are we doing in church? We believe God can change situations. We believe God can change us. You're like, I'm tired of being like I am. Well, God can change you. May not like how he does it, but he can change you. Next slide. What are we called? We're called to be like Jesus. And every man has this hope, does what? Purifies, cleanses, just as the Lord is chaste, undefiled, guiltless. In other words, that purifying yourself implies that you work on yourself. That's why the scripture says, if you through the Spirit, don't try to do this without the Spirit of God. Do it with the Spirit of God. Amen. Next slide. And we're almost done. What time is it? 5 o'clock yet? I don't think so. No, you can't go on vacation. I was looking at the time, but I just saw a text. It's not allowed. I tell you what, you know my feelings on it. We haven't had a vacation for a while. But when I go on vacation, I hope all you folks are faithful. Because I'm faithful when you're not here. Amen. And last time we were on vacation, you guys were very faithful. I'm very proud of you. For even thus to you are called. What's your calling? To be like Jesus. Christ also suffered. Leaving you his personal example that you should follow in his footsteps. Now, notice the title of that slide is The Flesh and Offense. What does the flesh want to do when we get offended? Wants to get mad. What did Jesus do when he got offended? Let's read. Go to the next verse. And you can come up here, Sister E. When he was reviled and insulted, you know, I got a problem with that myself sometimes, because somebody insults me, and I like to say, yeah, your mama wears army boots too. That's just me. I'm working on me. I'm not as bad as I used to be, right? Right, Millie? I hope I'm better than I used to be. Am I better than I used to be? Oh, good. Otherwise, I'd be in trouble if she said no. He didn't revile or offer insults in return when he was abused, when he suffered. He made no threats of vengeance. That's a big thing in my family, threats of vengeance. Fortunately, I don't do that, so I got delivered from that a long time ago. But he trusted himself and everything to him who judges fairly. I was talking to our district superintendent over an issue just a few weeks ago. It has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with this church. And I said, brother, I said, this is the way it works. You just hang in there, and God reveals the truth. Amen. I don't have to threaten anybody. I don't have to go retaliation. I can do what Jesus did. He committed himself. To the one that judges fairly. In the last verse, he personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree and offered himself on it that we might die, that we might cease to exist. I promise you, if you knew me in 1979, you would say, this guy is dead. I don't exist. He's changed me. So now it talks about that we might die. Not a physical death. We're not going to go take, you know, Harry Carey or anything like that. But that the flesh might change. Die to sin, cease to exist to sin, live unto righteousness, and by his wounds you've been healed. If you've got problems with offense, problems, many different problems, you know what? Jesus gave you healing. You can have emotional problems. I think we talked about that from childhood. You can have things that have, right, Sister E? You can have things in your childhood that God can heal you from. Amen. Some things we can talk about, some things we can't talk about. It's not proper. A lot of different ways the Lord brought you healing. It's not always talking about your back or your leg or your cancer or your goiter or the greatest thing that can happen is when the spirit is healed. You can go to heaven with one arm and one leg. You can go to heaven with no arms and no legs. You can't go to heaven without any lungs because you'll die. I mean, you can go, but it'll be quick. But you can't go to heaven with a spirit that's been destroyed and it's been vile. A great healing can happen to your spirit today. My wife's going to sing a song. Let's all stand. What are we supposed to do? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. I hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word from Free Food for the Soul. Free Food for the Soul is a ministry of the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. God is real, He cares for you, and has a deeper walk for you in the Spirit. Feel free to be our guest this Sunday at the North Jersey United Pentecostal Church. We are located at 51 Center Avenue in Secaucus, New Jersey, one block behind Town Hall. Sunday Bible class starts at 12:30, and our worship celebration starts promptly at 1 o'clock. Our phone number is 201-832-1955. Our website is www.njupc.org. I trust that you have been both fed and blessed today from God's Word through Free Food for the Soul.
What must I do to be saved?
Well, before I get into the direct answer, I'm going to assume you believe the Bible.
Right.
If somebody doesn't believe the Bible, I start with experience.
Totally different issue.
Well, all of us are sinners, and therefore all of us are separated from God by our sin. And we see that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans 6, 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Romans 1:16 says, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So the way that we're saved is through the gospel of Jesus Christ and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what I need to add from the outset is, in the scriptural sense, and certainly when you're talking about salvation, believing is more than mental understanding, mental agreement, or verbal profession. It actually includes obedience to what you profess. And we see this in Romans. Romans 1:5 speaks of the obedience of faith. So the very book and the very inspired author who speaks perhaps more than any other about salvation by faith tells us what kind of faith he's talking about. It's faith that produces obedience. Faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. You cannot separate one from the other. If you truly believe God, you'll believe His Word. If you truly believe His Word, you'll act upon His Word. If I yell out, the building is on fire, if you really believe that, you're not going to just sit there and tell me, oh, thank you for that bit of information. I acknowledge it and I profess it. No, you're going to act on it. You're going to run out of the building. And if you do, we could say that I saved you. Or we could say that you're saved because you believe me. Or we could say you're saved because you acted on what you believe. And that's why Romans 6:17, Paul says that you used to be the slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the doctrine that was delivered to you. So the same author that says you're saved by believing the gospel also says you're saved by obeying the doctrine. Those are not two different things. It's the same thing. Now, let me fast forward. On the day of Pentecost, the 120 received this wonderful experience. Peter preached to them, to the thousands of believers that gathered. And he preached, if you study it, he preached simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in Acts 2. That is the gospel according to 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins, He was buried, He rose again to provide victory. So we must believe that gospel, or as I've just explained, we must somehow obey that gospel. Believe it to the point that we act upon it, we apply it to our lives. How do we do that? We find the answer in Acts 2. Peter preached the simple message that Jesus died, but His body did not decay in the tomb. He was raised on the third day. And then the people cried out, what shall we do? And He said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. When we repent, we're dying to the old life. We identify with Christ's death. When we're baptized in Jesus' name, it's a burial with Christ. And then when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's the resurrection of life of Christ. So when we believe the gospel, we will obey the gospel, and we receive the experience that Peter commanded in Acts chapter 2.
So when we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth, as is commonly expressed, or is expressed in some settings, it's more than just I believe.
Right.
And it being a mental assent, but it's a behavior, it's action taken.
Yes. In Acts, in Romans 10, which you're referring to, if you read that context, Paul was explaining why the Jewish people as a whole are not saved. And he said, it's because they've not believed the message of Christ. And then, so he explains the basis of salvation, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ and confess Him. Now, he wasn't explaining to a sinner what to do at the altar. He was writing to the church, right, explaining why aren't the Jews receiving the promises of God? Because their foundation is off. They won't confess Christ. Now, if they will confess Jesus and believe that He rose from the dead, then they could be saved. But of course, his audience knows, well, if you confess Jesus as Lord, that means you're obeying Him as your Lord. Right. If you believe that He was raised from the dead, that means you'll receive the Spirit of the resurrected Christ. So he didn't have to fill in the blanks for his audience. They had already experienced that.
He was writing to the church.
Yes, and he was explaining the foundation. You've got to get your foundation right, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, we don't deny, we need to emphasize, salvation is by the grace of God. That means it's a gift of God. We receive it through faith in Jesus Christ. It's by faith.